those that are on digitally, we want to welcome you as well today. What a blessing it is. If you would bow your heads. Most loving, kind God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we thank you for your absolute love that you have shown to each one of us personally in so many ways. And ask that you would take this message and you send it out however you choose, whatever words that are spoken, you direct, and each person can hear personally what you have prepared for them today. This message is yours, and we just ask, and I ask, that you would give it in Christ's name. Amen. What changed? Kind of an interesting or different thought of this time of year, but what did change? Advent is a time where we can be reminded that God does not remain distant or aloof from his creation. If nothing else, over the past 3 and now 4 weeks, as we have lit a candle, I hope that disconnect of distance is gone, that there is a realization that Jesus is here for us. Advent has brought us hope, peace, joy, and today, love. We're going to talk about two women who share exciting news, Elizabeth and Mary. And Terry read this text from the English Standard Version today. I will be using the same text, but from the World English Bible. So you'll get a little bit different flair just from the translation. The story begins after Mary is visited by an angel who tells her that she will give birth to the Son of God. That in itself is a story worth reading, but to realize that this young woman had been told by the angel that she would be giving birth to the Son of God. So you can only imagine what was going on within her. The emotions, if nothing else, were probably running rampant. We're going to pick it up in verse 39. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Mary went in haste. In other words, she didn't linger at home. She moved rather quickly. And why did she go to Zacharias and Elizabeth? She went to someone that she trusted, a safe place. In our minds, there's a place that we know that, okay, I can go here, and it's a safe place. Mary chose to go to her family. She didn't stay at home with her mom or her dad or her neighbors. She left and went to see her cousin. Because why? She had surprising news. She was excited. She wanted to share this, but didn't feel comfortable sharing it at home. When you've received interesting news, surprising news, some exciting news that is in your life, maybe you're having some promotion at work, or maybe something's really happening within the family, don't you want to share that? Don't you want to let people know that, man, this is good stuff. This is really happening. Well, that was Mary. She needed some place that she felt comfortable in doing that, because what the news she was sharing was, this is really happening. This is coming. Mary traveled, and I look up on a map, approximately 50 to 70 miles from her home to the home of her family, of Elizabeth and Zacharias. Speculation or reality is that Mary was a teenager. 50 to 70 miles. She probably had to walk it. It wasn't public transportation. couldn't call a Lyft camel or a Nubo camel. It was you walked. And the terrain probably wasn't that friendly. The question, and it doesn't say anywhere, but I had to wonder, how safe was that journey for her as a young teenage girl? But she chose to go there because this was the safe place that she could share. Mary had a time to reflect on this journey, to bear what was going on. We don't know how quickly this went from the angel coming to Mary and telling her that she's going to be having a baby until this event. But along that way, during that journey, she probably had a tremendous amount of time to reflect on, this is really going to happen. And I said yes. And now what? How is this? Where's my support? Did Mary wonder what Elizabeth and Zacharias' reaction would be to her news? In that time, in that period, Mary was not married and pregnant. Not a good combination in that period of time. The culture was she could have been stoned. She could have been put to death in other ways. Certainly could have been ostracized and banned from the community. The least thing would probably be the social embarrassment, the emotion that she would have had. So on her way, she had to feel pretty good about Elizabeth because she could trust that she could share this news. Picking this up in verse 41 again, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, her baby, we know that to be John, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She called out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Can you imagine, after making that journey, wondering what kind of reception she would have? What kind of words would come to her? Would she be ostracized even there? But those had to be an incredible words of comfort to her, to let her know, okay, it's okay. This is going to be fine. This is all good stuff. You are blessed among women. Change had begun. What changes did the birth of Jesus bring to humanity? Have you ever thought of that? I mean, we know today for us, but think of that time. Elizabeth was no longer barren. She had not had a child and was really ostracized and treated pretty roughly as a woman for years. But now she was pregnant with her son. The baby leaped in her womb at the sound of a voice. I don't think that was coincidence. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That didn't happen to everyone back in that time. The Holy Spirit was later, at the end of Jesus' life, after his ascension at Pentecost, when it became fully available to everyone. Elizabeth spoke words of blessing to Mary. I'm not a mother, never will be, but I'm married to one. And the blessing of comfort of those words to this young girl had to be so incredibly healing. And I'm sure there were a few tears shed at that time. Just the sheer joy of the peace that Elizabeth was conveying to Mary. When Jesus blesses, the blessings are meant to be shared. And I think that is very true today. When you are blessed, do you share blessings? Do you share the news of those blessings? Isn't it exciting when someone tells you of something that is just absolutely wonderful happening in their life? Don't you feel good for them? I mean, that's sharing blessings. That's receiving blessings. And that's what Elizabeth was doing with Mary. Elizabeth said to Mary, "Blessed are you among women." And again, just think about what those words mean to someone that knew the society was not going to champion what she was doing, that it was going to be the far opposite of that. The text does not state that Mary told Elizabeth of her pregnancy. If you read through that, she never said that. But Elizabeth already knew. She didn't have to be told. Elizabeth speaks words of praise, but her husband, Zachariah, couldn't speak. And if you go back and you read the story, in his priestly duties, he went in and an angel shared with him that his wife was going to have a son. He didn't buy it. He didn't believe it. And when he came out, he couldn't talk until his son was born. So during this time, Zachariah is just a person there, but he's not part of the conversation. But his wife, Elizabeth, is. Elizabeth continues praising from the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth continues in verse 43, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Why am I blessed, Mary, that you have come to share the news with me? What makes me so special?" She doesn't see herself as that. Elizabeth knows whose Mary's child is, the mother of my Lord. She knows what Mary is going to go through. She knows that her son will be the Savior. But she is not swayed by her awareness that Mary was unmarried and pregnant. She sees God's work in it. And that's the thing that we can get caught up and see things and go, "Yeah, that's, you made poor choices, so live with them." You know, that's kind of the things that we hear in society. Elizabeth knew the cost of humiliation and exclusion and failure. In that culture, if a woman failed to produce offspring, they were seen as failing to serve their role as a human being, as a mother, because she didn't have children. And she had lived her entire life, married life. Husband's a priest, but she has no children. And I'm quite sure, if you read history, that particular event, those women suffered immensely. It's hard today, but that's the reality that Elizabeth lived with. She knew what it felt like. And what did she do? She showed love to Mary. Do we show love to other people that maybe are living in examples or living in existence in ways that we don't necessarily agree with? I don't say we have to change and agree with their lifestyle, but can we show love to them? Elizabeth showed love to Mary, knowing that she's a young girl, knowing that she is not married, knowing that she is pregnant, and knowing that she is pregnant with the Savior of the world. And she chose to show her love. We too can show the love of Jesus when we open our hearts and homes to those our culture may reject. This time of year, if you are out, you will notice a lot of people that are homeless. And I'm not advocating that you go out and load them up and bring them home. But do you drive by and not see them? Because we can do that. We can ignore their existence. Or do we pause and maybe say a prayer for them, for God, because God knows their situation far better than us. Do we open our hearts to those around us that are less fortunate? You know, I mentioned last week and referred to those folks in the six states that had tornadoes that come through and wiped out their life as they knew it. They are in a situation with no home, no job, burying friends or family. And I read yesterday that one of the biggest issues in Mayfield is people are coming in and stealing things. They're stealing copper. They're stealing catalytic converters from damaged cars. There is a world of pain that is going on. Have we stopped and prayed for those individuals? For their world that has been upside down? Here in Kansas, there's a number of people that their homes have burned to the ground as a result of the wildfires in western and central Kansas. 1 week ahead of Christmas, everything is gone. And it's the timing of the calendar, but when you lose, it doesn't matter what time of year it is. Do we show compassion? And again, I'm not advocating that you load up and take food supplies to these individuals, but if the opportunity to serve comes along, do we ignore it? You know, there's a lot of pain, a lot of hurt. And in the midst of all of that is this uptick in our pandemic with the COVID variant that is taking a lot of places by storm. Don't reject others. Think of the perils that they are going through, the loss that they are going through. It's difficult. I saw a picture, it was posted on Facebook, of three little kids in Mayfield. Two are in a bathtub and one is right there beside. Minutes after that picture was taken, the tornado took the one child that was outside the tub and it was gone. And this family now is dealing with that on top of everything else. Do we show the love of Jesus? And I'm not up here to try and give you a guilt trip, and that's not the intent. But Jesus blesses each one of us every day. The fact that you're sitting upright, the fact that you probably had breakfast today, the fact that you have clothes that are warm, those are blessings. Do we show blessings to others, to the love of God? Let the Holy Spirit give us the words to bless others. And that's the situation many times we're confronted with. I don't know what to say. My heart breaks, but I don't know what to say. I don't even know what to do. The Holy Spirit does. Ask Him to help you, to show the love of Jesus to those around you, to bless those. When we see God working in others, tell them. Ever thought about that? When you see someone doing something that maybe is just their nature, but it is obviously something that comes from serving God, do you tell them? Do you thank them? Do you go, man, I just can't, I don't know how you do that. And they look at you like, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal because that's maybe the way they're wired, but it's a big deal to the person that's receiving the blessings, receiving the words as they come out. Tell people when you see God working in them. Let them know that you recognize that they have yielded to God to share His love. Notice that there is no competition between Elizabeth and Mary as we go back to this. Two mothers. Nobody's trying to one-up the other one. Nobody's trying to do something or outspeak one another. Their focus is on Jesus, the baby that Mary is carrying. back to the scripture in verse 44, Elizabeth. For behold, when the voice of your greeting came into my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. So when Mary came up and greeted Elizabeth, the baby John in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy. Okay, was that a coincidence? Well, why did it end up in the Bible if it was a coincidence? I mean, when you see it in Scripture, I don't think that was just the writer threw something in. It has meaning. We see the fitting response of worship portrayed by Elizabeth's baby leaping for joy. And you go, how does that work? The relationship between John and Jesus is being laid down. It's being established when they're both in the wombs of their mother. John responds to Jesus. John always pointed people to Jesus and not to himself. Be wary of the person that is touting who they are. Allow the Spirit to help you discern. But when people point to Jesus, when they are doing something that is so obvious that they are responding to the Spirit in them, listen to that person. Allow that to flow over you. When we worship Jesus and his Father in the Spirit, while pointing others to the one whom we worship, do you ever think what you do in worshiping as in serving others, if you bless someone, it's just something you felt you needed to do. Why did you feel that way? You were yielding to God in all likelihood. You point others to Jesus. That's what life is. Who in this room would not want those that we love and care for to respond to the love of Jesus Christ? To know that he has come and lived and is there for them, whether they realize it or not. The fact that he loves each individual, and you will read in scriptures, he came for all. He loves everyone. The gift of pointing Jesus to others. And some resist it. Some flat out will tell you, I don't want to talk about that. Does that mean you can't love them anyway? Does that mean you can't bless them? Oh, you can. Another detail in this story is that John portrays Jesus as greater than John is the nature of miraculous conceptions. And you think, okay, just the very fact of this story portrays that Jesus is greater. And you're kind of going, how does that work? Elizabeth's pregnancy miracle is the most improbable turn of events. She's an older lady. Past childbearing years, we'll put it that way. And yet, she's pregnant. And you go, okay, yeah, that can happen. But Mary's story, the miracle is an absolute impossibility. There is no physical level that works. It has to come from the Spirit. It has to come from a higher plane than humanity. Jesus is greater than John because you look at just those simple facts. It speaks to that value. Verse 45, blessed is she who believed. Right there, just those simple words, blessed is she who believed, or there will be a fulfillment of things which have been spoken to her from the Lord. She knows. She knows where it came from. She understands the story. Mary is blessed not only for being chosen to be the Lord's mother, but also for trusting in God's promises. Trusting God's promises sometimes is a challenge. Sometimes you look at that and go, I don't know. I'm not sure I can go there. I'm not sure that will work. Run the course. It will. God's promises are just that. They are a promise, and that means they will be kept. The word blessed in verse 42, and I'm going to go back and read that. Verse 42 is, she called with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. This word blessed in this section is referring to both present and future generations praising and speaking her child and of her. This is a future. It's forever. This blessing, as we refer to that. In verse 45, the word blessed could be translated, happy is she who believed. And verse 45 starts out, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of things which have been spoken to her from her child, from her, the Lord. As Elizabeth experiences her situation, reversed from shame to honor, can you imagine this woman has lived her whole life being emotionally abused because she didn't have a baby, didn't have any offspring. To go from that shame, and I'm sure it was shameful, people can be very catty sometimes, to honor. She now has a baby. She has placed a deeper divine blessing that comes from placing her trust in God's word spoken to her. She trusted what God was doing. She understood the blessing, and the blessing came from God. This blessing of happiness comes in trusting God, putting our hope in Him. The question I ask, do you put hope in Jesus Christ? Are they just words? Are they mirrored in your life? And how you behave and how you do things. I don't need to know. That's between you and God individually. Do you trust God? And there's times when things are pretty dark and things aren't working well. And I've heard it said, I probably even have asked it, God, where are you? Where are you in this situation? He's right there with you. Run the course, hang with Him. When we could not or would not do, Jesus did in our place and on our behalf. And the statement from that is, He still does it every day. He does for us what we can't do or will not do. He loves us that much. Elizabeth is celebrating Mary's willingness to say yes to God's word to her. So when Mary shows up and is welcomed and loved in that safe place, Mary is being blessed because Elizabeth is championing and celebrating what is going on, what God is involved in that. Do we celebrate yeses from God? In your life, as things go along, and there's a blessing or those answers come, and there's a big yes, do we celebrate the blessing from God? How might we celebrate the moments of faith in our brothers and sisters in Christ? And that's probably the thing that I would ask you to take away from today, if nothing else. How do I celebrate the moments of faith, not in me, but in those around me? Do we see it? Do we think about those? Do we pray about those? Do we say, thank you, God, for my... And you fill in the blank. How can we participate in the blessing of being a blessing? Ask God. Spend some quiet time with Him, asking about what it is to be a blessing. How can I be a blessing to others? I don't have the words, I don't have the means, I don't have the ways in our mind. But Jesus wants us to participate with him in what he's already doing. Allow that to be on your radar this week, to think about being a blessing. As we move through this week to Christmas Eve, to a time that pictures the birth of Jesus Christ, with that birth, everything changed. Without the birth of Jesus, first of all, you probably wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be living the life you have. You wouldn't be going through all kinds of different things, knowing that there's a higher power working with you, walking with you. Everything changed with the birth of Jesus, and it continues as he goes through his life. The blessing that we have from Jesus that we can celebrate today is the table in front of me, the Lord's Supper, communion, an opportunity to share in what he has given us. He has given his body. It was broken for us in the form of the bread. His blood was poured out for us in the form of the fruit of the vine. And he wants us to ingest, to take him in, to live that close that we can remember him in every moment of the day. The table is set. It's ready. We in Grace Communion Derby have an open communion. All are welcome. It's your choice. It's not a forced situation. But as we come to this point, always, always we thank God. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice, the Father who is willing to give his Son, the Spirit that moves in us, that shares our feelings and our words that we can't even express. Thank you for this Lord's Supper, the communion, the Eucharist that you have provided. And God, I ask that you would take this and bless each one. We thank you for it. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. The table is now set. Come as you feel led. There's not a rush. And I ask that you would maybe ponder a thought or two of the blessings of Jesus as you take today's communion meal.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down.
Of love. Let love live in your heart and share the love of Christ with all you meet. Share love by loving those you see regularly. Start by loving your community. Share love by loving those you do not know. How do your actions affect the rest of God's creation? Share love by praying for our world. In this Advent season, we need to see, feel, and share love. As you go out into the wonder of God's creation, share love, joy, peace, and hope with those you meet. Amen.